Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Kellogg, and I'll be joined, as always, by sports editor for the Argonaut, Chris Dermer. We'll take a look at Idaho football before their season opener against Central Washington, along with Idaho soccer taking on some former conference rivals, and volleyball on the road to start off their month-long road trip before talking the NFL and giving our weekly picks for week one of the NFL season in 2019. Thank you all for listening, and as always, go Vandals! And we're rolling. All right, welcome. Another edition of the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. Zach Kellogg. As always, joined by Chris Dermer here Thursday morning.
How's it going, Zach?
It's going great. You know, school, school. Got some work. Got to go do some interviews, too, so.
Fun stuff.
We had production last night, and I was here till like 2 a.m. again.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! You know, but hey, now we get to talk about sports. All right, so jumping into things, Idaho football with their home opener this Saturday. They're playing Central Washington in the Dome. All right, Chris, our beat reporter for football, give us the bullet points we need to know about this game.
Well, let's see. Central Washington, they're gonna be a little stingy out there, I think. Coming off of back-to-back conference titles for them, they're one of the better teams in Division II. Had the fourth best offense in all of Division II last season. And they have a running back returning who I think is going to be pretty dominant.
So with that running back, would you say it's more him, or you say it's more the offensive line that might be aiding him in this one, or are you just not quite sure? Those scattered reports.
I'm not quite for sure yet. I would assume it's probably going to be the O-line as well, because, mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have the fourth best ranked offense without a good O-line. So, I think the Vandal defense is going to be in for a challenge, but at the same time, I think they're fully ready this week. I mean, coming off a terrible loss like Penn State, like, they're going to be ready in front of the KB Dome, in front of all those fans. We get Christian Ellis back, too, this week.
Okay. Yeah, I get back. Get him back, yeah.
The D-line showed a lot of sparks of good moments last week at Penn State against Penn State's O-line. And I think this week they're gonna bully Central Washington.
Yeah, this team, I feel like it's going to be not a shootout, but a bit more high-scoring than people were expecting. Like, in my staff predictions, I believe I said, like, 34 to 21. Yep. I think it could be 45 to 28, something like that. I think we'll win pretty easily, or not easily, but by a pretty wide margin. But I think it's going to be kind of neck and neck for the first two quarters. And then third quarter, we might start pulling away a little bit, get some stops, and then turn those into touchdowns, turn those into points. But it'll be an interesting game. Yeah, I think I'm already getting deja vu from last year. And kind of how that year started, and I'm really, if we get another 70-point win, that'd be a great thing. But I don't know, I don't see that happening against this much better Central Washington that compared to that Western New Mexico team that we completely obliterated.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it's gonna, like I said, it's gonna come down to the offense, like it does every game. Are they gonna perform? Are they gonna get things rolling early? If they don't get things rolling early, they're pretty stagnant until about third quarter. Like, granted, that was last season, but there's so many weapons on that offense. They have to be able to score. It's plain and simple. Score the football.
I think this game, the secondary is really going to shine, because I think that's probably one of our best spots on this team is our defensive secondary with Lloyd Hightower. And Escalante and, you know, just all those guys, I feel like they're going to start hitting their groove here. And like you said, the D-line being pretty good against Penn State, they should be even better against the Central Washington team. And then I think, it's just, like you said, it's just offense. It's just, can Mace Petrino get going? Can Colton get going? Can they find Cottrell and Jeff and DJ Lee and Dante Boston on the outside, and then can the running back committee continue to live up to the hype that we've kind of built around them?
Yeah.
And then that offensive line.
Do you think there might be, think it might be like, instead of the hype now with the whole running back routine, it's almost like too much running back potential there?
I think almost.
don't know how to utilize all of them.
There's just so many weapons you can use, and you feel like if you don't use one enough, you feel like you're not going to...
Yeah.
I think that might become an issue if they all consistently... If you feel like each one can consistently be a 100-yard per game type rusher,
mm-hmm.
then you're kind of... Then you got to start trying to convert one of those guys to wide receiver.
Yeah.
You got to try and convert one of them and see what you can do. Because I know they have some young guys even behind everyone, and like Khalil Forehand, someone who hasn't showed out so far, but they turned him into a running back from last year. So it's like on the depth chart, I think they got 7 running backs, but it's like, it's hard to just pick one to be the starter and then divide up those reps equally because everyone wants to carry the rock. I guess it's better to have too much talent than not enough, but that's going to be interesting to see how they divide that up and who gets the carries. I think it'll be Romano.
Yeah.
From Rocky Mountain. The freshman, I believe he'll get the bulk of the carries as the year kind of goes on, with Dylan Thigpen being our third down back.
Andre Carter had around 14 carries last week. So
Andre Carter
released,
too, and
he got most of the carries. So I think he's gonna be a huge part as well. So.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like another running back right there, and I think he's the second. Andre Carter's just slipped my mind. He's the second best running back out of this group.
Yeah,
I still think Romano might be the best, but it's like that just proves that we have too much talent, man, in the backfield.
Yeah,
the last few years you just had either Isaiah Saunders. We had Isaiah Saunders and Aaron Duckworth, but they're only 1 to 2 guys. 5 guys? I mean, I'll take that, but I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I think it'll work out, but I think there will be some growing pains in trying to get everyone an equal amount of carries or see who's just kind of working that game.
Yeah.
All right, and now we'll transition. We'll stay in the Kibby Dome, but go to bring out the soccer goals and bring out women's soccer because they're playing their last two games of this 4-game homestand against Seattle U and UC Santa Barbara. And since that's my beat, I did some research.
How do you think that's going to go, Zach?
What was that?
How do you think that's going to go this weekend?
I think we'll be fine. I think we have a very good shot of going 2-0.
Yeah.
These are two very good teams from the WAC and Big West. Seattle U coming off an NCAA tournament appearance. They lost 0-3 to Stanford, though. So, I mean, that's a Pac-12 school.
We don't have the best history against these two teams, though.
Correct? Yeah. That's for sure. I think, over the past 21 years, dating back to when we founded the program in 98, we have won against both these teams a combined 3 times.
Woo.
Out of, I believe, 22 games, I believe.
Man.
We have won 3 times. We haven't beaten UC Santa Barbara since 2000, and we've only beaten Seattle U 2 times, and that's been the last 2 years. So 2017, or 2016 and 2018, I believe. So we lost to them for a very long time because they are powerhouses. They are very good in their conferences.
Yeah.
And we sucked for a very... very, very, very long time, as you saw in the record book. I mean, it was just losing season, 3-win season, 4-win season, 9-win season, but still have a losing record, like 2 wins in conference, 0 wins in conference. It's like, it wasn't until about 2010, 10 through 14, we had a decent team, had a down year in 14, and then from then on, we've been one of the powerhouses in the Big Sky since joining the Big Sky, which I thought was really interesting. I'm glad I took that angle with that story.
Yeah. It was a good story. Good story this week. Check it out on TheVandalNation.com.
Yeah, TheVandalNation.com. That should be up here. Well, it should be up now. And
yeah.
And you can also grab an Argonaut all around campus and see that. But, no, yeah, I'm really glad I went with that. I wish I would have talked to the UC Santa Barbara coach, because he has been with the program for 21 years.
Mm.
Since Idaho
became
a program, he's been playing them as either the assistant coach or the head coach. So he has seen this team essentially over all the years. Even though there's a big gap between like 2004, and then we played them like 2 times since then leading up to now. But it's like we played a lot of our games in the early 2000s, late 90s. But I mean, still, it's like 21 years, and he's the guy that's kind of beating us over and over and over again. You still have the same guy there. And, yeah, so UC Santa Barbara coming off a Big West conference title appearance, first one since 08-09 when they won back-to-back conference titles. So, and both these teams are returning some of their top goal scorers, so it'll give our defense a nice challenge. But talking with Clevenger, Coach Jeremy Clevenger for Idaho Soccer for the game, actually on Tuesday, he said a tough non-conference is just very, very important to get you ready for a Big Sky, because, you know, that Northern Colorado,
yep.
You got Weber State, Idaho State, Eastern Washington, you have Montana. It's like you have a lot of good teams that you need to prepare for, and it's might as well, you might get the crap kicked out of you a little bit in the non-conference, but it's going to set yourself up for a better time in the Big Sky when you're battle-tested like that, just as long as you're not injured. And Idaho did a great job of not allowing these young players to get injured so far, or any of the returning veterans.
What do you think the chances are of us going 2-0 this weekend?
I would say 60-40. Okay. So 60% 2-0, 40%. So actually, I'd go 50-2-0, 50% 2-0. I would say 30% 1-1. And then 20% 0-2. I don't believe
those aren't good odds, though.
I know.
Good odds.
It's just because it's a young team, so it's not like last year where it's like you were like, oh, you kind of know what you're getting. This year it's just kind of a dial. It's just kind of going, you just have to guess where it's going to stop, because they'll either be super on and just be on everything like they were when they went to UC, one of the California teams earlier this season when they got their first win.
Yeah.
I believe it was UC Riverside. Or you can have a game kind of like the BSU one where you just can't get things going offensively, and it just doesn't work out for you, much like Mississippi State also. We lost 1-2, or CSU Bakersfield. That's the team we had it on against, but where you can have a game like against Mississippi State where you lose 1-2, we looked good in that game, but we just couldn't find consistency against a team that just looked more physical, more tested, and just more polished than us.
Oh, yeah.
And I that's an SEC opponent.
SEC.
I mean,
yeah.
And but Clevenger and the players love these non-conference games. It's always a great challenge for them. But, yeah, so this will be their last home stand before they head on the road for Cal Baptist and Oregon State, next week. So we'll look at that, but
then it kicks off, right?
Yeah, and then September 22nd. That's North Dakota, so the former Big Sky. So that'll be our last one. But then the following week, September 27th, this thing starts rolling, and it goes by fast because you have two home games, three away games, two home games, and then you're in the two away games, and you're done. So just four home conference games this year. Five on the road. So that kind of stinks, because that means it's going to fly by even faster.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's transition to some volleyball. I'll touch on them real quick. It's still very early in the year. Tough to get a good read on them. But today, they went to the University of Portland to face, to play in their tournament. Let's see who they're also playing. Washington State and Utah State. Those won't be so. Washington State will be on Saturday, and they're actually playing on Friday. So University of Portland on Friday, Utah State Friday at 4, Washington State at 10:30.
And then they head off to
UNLV.
Sunny Las Vegas. That's a nice tournament to go to.
Then they head to Nebraska, and then we start our
Phoenix
conference schedule.
No, they go to Phoenix. Wow, they just go to all the nice places. Raya is Moscow. Gets very disgusting. Go to Las Vegas. They go to Phoenix. Man.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Grand Canyon University, yeah.
What a nice non-conference schedule they have to go to.
Yeah. It's better than last year. They don't have to travel as far as they did last year. It just kind of sucks to be on the road for three straight weekends. But, I mean, that's where this team needs to get adjusted to. Like, it's weird how similar the storylines are for soccer and volleyball
over the
past couple years, of last year being veteran-led teams picked to win the Big Sky, to this year being retooling teams still trying to get their feet under them in the non-conference. I mean, they're going to have some battles in front of them, so it's going to be interesting. But I believe for this one, they might go 1-2 again. Utah State, a pretty solid Big West or Mountain West school. Washington State, as always, very solid Pac-12. University of Portland, so I can see us going 0-3 or 1-2. I don't see us winning two. Because I still believe this team is still going through growing pains, so they have to have that adversity. I mean, even this last weekend against University of Illinois at Chicago, who was said to be the best team of tournament, we lost them in five sets. But that fourth set, I believe, showed a spark for this team where they battled all the way through to each team having 30-plus points, which is you go to 25 to decide who scores unless it's within two. And then you just keep going. So the fact that they went that distance and won the fourth set, that says a lot about this team. They lost, unfortunately.
They got some grit early
on. This team's tough. Like I'm not too worried about them. It's just getting their feet under them, and we'll see. And, I mean, not a whole lot less to talk about them. It's Kennedy Warren, outside hitter. She's looked very solid. Delaney Hopin in the back, been pretty good playing as a defensive specialist.
By the time Big Sky Conference comes around, conference play, how do you think this team will be? Do you think that the grittiness and the toughness of this non-conference schedule will tire them out, per se, of this young team by the time
Big Sky play might. Rolls around? I get where you're coming from, and I think it's a very valid point, and I think it might. Buchanan has been in this business long enough to where she can get these teams prepared, so I believe we'll be okay. But that is 100% something that could happen. Same with soccer, is that a lot of these players, this is their first time playing more than one match a week.
Yeah.
In high school, you play one match a week.
Getting the grueling schedule.
But then in college, you got two, three, you have double. I think having the doubles, so the two in a day, those are tough. It's like, I can't even imagine giving your all, resting for a few hours, then giving her all again, only to wake up and do it again early the next morning, like they're going to do at this next tournament. I think it'll make it easier on them in the Big Sky, though, in a way, because you won't have to do doubles. You can have all week to prepare for one match. You can have a day break when you travel down or travel around to where you need to go. If you're at home, that's even better. But then it gives you that opportunity to, like, all right, we know what it's like to be absolutely exhausted and to still battle through some of these things. Now we have time to rest, and then if we do get tired in the match, we're facing adversity, we have that extra spark because we can go that extra mile because we did that all non-conference. That'll be the major thing, I think, for this team to find success this year.
I think, which is interesting with Idaho athletics in general this year, is there's so much mystery with each program.
Don't you love it?
I guess, you know, there's something about the uncertainty, which is nice, but I mean, really with each program, like last year, we kind of knew, we grew up with a lot of these teams, and now it's like a whole new generation in a way.
I know.
I don't know if that just means I'm getting old and I need to get out of this place or
what. I mean, we touched on this last week. Yeah, it's like basketball, two pretty much guaranteed Hall of Famers are gone. Basketball, this team is almost completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Also, men's basketball, shout out to Chance Garvin. Getting that
scholarship.
Getting that scholarship from being a walk-on.
You have to love those scholarship videos.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome that his four-year teammate, Trayvon Allen, was able to give that to him. Football, compared to last year, we have a couple returners, but we lost a lot of guys last year, including the great Caden Ellis.
Yeah.
But we got two more Ellis's to fill in the shoes. And then soccer, volleyball, our Lisa Johnson for golf is gone. Tennis is looking for a coach. It's
Sophie Hausman gone.
Sophie Hausman gone. But it'll be interesting this next season. I'm pretty excited. I like the uncertainty because it allows me to speculate more. If I know we're going to be bad, that's not going to be a fun season. But
You're right there. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, we'll take a break right here. And when we come back, we'll take a look at the start of the NFL season and also our picks for NCAA football and also our Mike Leach Awards. And we're back from the break, back here, last half of the Vandal Scoreboard podcast here on Thursday. Chris Dermer, Zach Kellogg. All right. It's back. It is officially time.
It is.
We've been waiting But winter is coming, and the NFL season is finally here tonight as the Bears take on the Packers for the oldest rivalry in the NFL.
Yep.
All right, so we're going to do three matchups. It's going to be our running segment here on the show for the rest of the season. So we're going to pick up three matchups. The marquee one we think is a must watch, and then two of our favorites that we want to see. And we'll keep a running tally here from now until the end of the season to see who essentially does the best, which I think will be a great idea. And it'll prove, I guess, who just knows the NFL better or yeah. who is way luckier. All right. So starting things off, of course, like I said, Bears, Packers, week one, Aaron Rodgers versus Mitchell Trubisky, Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith. We got a Tariq Cohen's there. Jordan Howard's gone for the Bears. And then the Packers completely retooled.
Aaron Rodgers, though.
Who do you have in week one, Chris, the first game of the 2019 season?
You know, it's difficult because, like, the Bears are the more complete team. They're the more complete team. They're coming off a great season, you know. Everyone's talking about a potential Super Bowl run, you know, Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
Can Mitchell Trubisky do it this year, lead that team? But it's Aaron Rodgers, man. It's Aaron Rodgers against the Bears, against an NFC North team. And he always plays so well, you know? I got to go with the Packers. I got to go with the Packers.
All right.
Go with the Packers this week.
So I'm not a huge Bears fan, as I told Brandon Hill, our former EIC, many times last year. Yep. And I'm not changing my tone this year. I also think it'll be Packers winning this one. All right, let's predict score now since we picked the same team. We got to see who's closer. I think it'll be a 20 to 17. I think Packers win by 3 at Soldier.
I'll say 27-24.
Okay. So 27-24 for you. I actually want to get this down. I'm just going to start a Google Doc, honestly, right
Go
here.
Ahead,
just so
it.
I always have
do
it.
27-24.
Why don't you go into the next matchup now as I get this set
okay,
up?
Okay, yeah, go ahead. So my next matchup that I am interested in watching has to be the Chiefs-Jaguars. You get Patrick Mahomes back there for the Kansas City Chiefs, but also for the Jags, good old Nick Foles is now with the Jags.
Former Chief.
Former Chief. Yeah, that is true. That is true. But yeah, that it's gonna be an interesting matchup because either Mahomes is gonna have a great day, or the Jaguars defense is gonna, you know, smother him. But also like. The display of Nick Foles on a new team, on the Jaguars team, could he be the final piece for them to regain the glory they had 2 years ago? As well as the Kansas City defense getting a few new pieces with Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu. Can this Kansas City defense now be more complete than they were last year, having, you know, allowing so many points per game? Yeah, it's going to be a fun one to watch, and probably, I would say probably more lower scoring game as well. I probably have to go with Chiefs on this one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't deny how great Patrick Mahomes is. The best matchup has to be Jalen Ramsey versus Tyreek Hill, with Jalen Ramsey shadowing Hill for probably most of the game. That'll be an interesting one to see because of last season, Ramsey calling Tyreek Hill just a punt returner.
He went to the Pro Bowl as a specialist.
Yeah.
He's all pro as a specialist.
Yeah.
So what'd you say score was for this game?
For Chiefs Jags, I'll have to say 24-14.
Chiefs. All right, and what'd you say for Bears Packers game? You said 27-24. So we think close the ball game for that one as well. 27-24, Green Bay, KC. All right. So now I got Chiefs-Jags. I'm kind of in a similar boat. I mean, you got rid of some big Chief names defensively and Justin Houston and Dee Ford. Eric Berry, he's still there, but he's not quite his former self. That Chiefs defense was awful last year. I mean, the offense could help carry the load with Patty Mahomes and Andy Reid, but it's the defense just couldn't stop anything. They couldn't stop tap water. They couldn't even turn that off. They just weren't good. And so adding Tyrann Mathieu, I think, was a huge pickup for them. I don't know how they were able to pick up that up. Frank Clark on the defensive line, I think they overpaid for him because I'm a Seahawks guy. Frank Clark is very good. He was one of our best, if not the best, defensive player outside of Wagner. But I don't think he's
now this Jadeveon Clowney for the Seahawks.
Hey. Paying like half as much money for a player the same age. That's what I'm talking about. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt, knock on wood.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
If you're with me, knock on wood. All right. love you, John Gruden. We'll get to more him in a little bit. Man. But anyway, I'm also predicting the Chiefs to win this one. I feel like the Jags are overrated. They went to the AFC Championship a couple years back, but at 10-6 in a very weak AFC South that had an injured Deshaun Watson and injured Andrew Luck.
That also dominated the Steelers in the playoffs, though.
I know.
That defense is no joke.
Saxonville is very good, yeah. Let's see here, but Patrick Mahomes in that offense is so good. I'm projecting Chiefs. 30.
Ooh.
Jacksonville.
17.
Okay. Chiefs win.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a bit of a, not a blowout, but one team is handily going to beat the other.
All right, then.
All right, and for our last game, we have
Colts Chargers, right? No?
No.
Oh,
wow. Ooh. So no Melvin Gordon.
Awkward.
Yeah, we're watching Austin Ekeler versus Jacoby Brissett, and I'm good.
Hey, it's going to be a good game. All right,
so last one we have Steelers at the Patriots. So, I think this might be the best matchup of week one due to Steelers now having almost a redemption year with James Conner, Juju Definitely. Smith, and Big Ben wanting to kind of fade away the thoughts of AB and Le'Veon Bell from the last couple years. So, and then the Patriots once again trying to reclaim their crown. Brady, 6-time Super Bowl champ, coming off the one against the Rams. I mean, for this one, it's close.
Patriots dropped the home opener last year.
I know.
Off a Super Bowl win. Yeah.
And then 2 years ago, they lost to the Chiefs.
Yep.
At Gillette, that's when Kareem Hunt came alive after fumbling on his first carry.
Two years ago. Then that's what I was thinking about. Yeah.
Right. So, let's see here. This is going to be difficult. Let's see. So, Big Ben, Juju, James McDonald, or James Washington, McDonald.
Vance McDonald, you know, good tight end.
But then you just have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
That is true.
I'm going to go Steelers week one, but I'm going to say it's going to be 21-17.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? 21-20. Ooh. I think 21-20, I think that'll be the final score.
Okay. Well, let's see. It's in Gillette, right?
It is at Gillette, yeah.
You know, it pains me to say this. I think the Patriots got this. I think the Patriots got it. It's going to be difficult for sure, especially with a bit of a struggling O-line this year for the Patriots. Losing a lot of players, shuffling a lot of new faces in. But it's Bill Belichick. It's Bill Belichick and it's Tom Brady, okay? And with the solid running game they have in the backfield as well, getting Josh Gordon back, I think the Patriots are going to win in Gillette. 28-24 over the Steelers.
All right, so 28-24?
Yep.
All right. 28-24, New England. Okay, so that's the NFL. We'll see how we do after next week when we get back on the mic. I'm not feeling super great because it's week one and we know very little about how these teams will play this season because everyone thinks they have the league figured out in week three, but
yep.
But there's always, the thing is.
Well, I mean, kind of.
There's always one
Patriots
team
and someone else.
It's like out of. There's always one team that's super good. It's probably gonna be the Patriots. Then there's always a super wild card team no one knows about. Last year was the Chiefs.
Well, the Patriots aren't gonna be super good at first. They're never good.
No,
in
no,
September.
Yeah, they always.
And
wait.
Then everyone's gonna be like, "Oh well, there goes Patriots. Looks like they're not gonna be good this year. Bye bye, Tom Brady."
And then they
and then they
finish 12-4 and get the number one seed in the AFC or the two seed.
It's like, yep.
But now we'll transition from NFL to college, and we'll take a look at what we think might be the best matchup in college football for this weekend. And the one we picked was the LSU Tigers facing off against the Texas Longhorns. Should be an interesting game. I believe that was played in Texas, I want to say, if I can find it. Yep,
in Texas.
So number 6 at number 9. All right, Chris, who do you got for this one?
We're back.
Sam Ellinger up by 40. All right,
Sam Ellinger, that's it. That's it. You know, I just love that Texas is actually good again. You know, like college football is so much better when these classic teams that everyone has known to be great are great, you know?
Yeah.
Sam Ellinger in Texas, they had one heck of a season last year, coming off a Sugar Bowl win. And, you know, it's definitely going to be a difficult matchup with LSU, who is not going to go out without a fight, but I believe in Sam Ellinger, and they're going to pull it off against LSU. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I will say 38-31.
38-31 Texas?
Texas.
Okay. 38-31.
Well, you could buy tickets for as low as $9 for Texas versus LSU. You want to go?
Yeah, let's go. How much are plane tickets? Look that up real quick.
Oh, that'll... We could drive.
Oh, leave right now?
Yeah. Just Texas. It doesn't take that long.
It is legit like a 28-hour... I got some family live down there, and they'll come up here. They're like, we legit drove nonstop for 28 hours.
Well, let's just head out right after this.
All
right. We don't have anything important going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. All right. So, let's see here. I hate early rankings for the college football playoff before the committee starts getting together, because you have a bunch of overrated teams ranked too high, like a Notre Dame. Another team that comes to mind might be an A&M or, you know, an LSU. Oh, what do you know? Look who we're talking about. I think LSU is a bit overrated. I don't see why they're so high. Honestly, after watching week one and seeing how bad the SEC played, like Arkansas almost losing to Portland State,
yeah,
a bottom feeder in the Big Sky.
Well, will they be a bottom feeder in the Big Sky this year now?
I just think Arkansas is
maybe they're proving something.
I think Arkansas is just that bad.
That could be it, too.
It's like the SEC, I think they lost 5 games against Group of 5 opponents or lower this last weekend.
Man.
And it's like I was listening to Joel Klatt on FS1, and he was saying how it's like everyone's saying the SEC is, it's always been the gridiron. It's always been the best of the best. But you look at it in year, it's like Missouri's not as good, Arkansas is not as good, A&M hasn't been as good.
The SEC hasn't been as dominant as it used to be.
Because now it's just
past few years.
Because now it's just Bama
and everyone,
Georgia,
else.
And everyone else.
Yeah.
But Georgia.
Okay,
it's
yeah,
easy
right.
Below Alabama, but it's Bama, step down Georgia, yeah. Everyone else, and so.
Imagine 2 years in a row, Georgia was that close to.
Was that close, and they couldn't close it. So, thanks a lot, Kirby Smart, for not doing that. Anyway, my pick. I'm not a huge LSU guy. It's so early in the year, it's hard to get a good read on these teams.
Are you going to pick LSU right now?
No. I'm kicking Texas.
Okay. I was going to say.
I like Texas. I always liked it. I like what Tom Herman's done with the program.
I cannot wait for the Red River rivalry.
That's gonna be so good this year.
The Red River game against Texas and Oklahoma, man.
I think it's gonna be. Let's see here. Let's go 34-28.
Okay.
Texas picks up the win.
All right, then.
And that is my prediction for number six, LSU, at number nine, Texas. And I will stick to that until I'm proven wrong, and then I'll say I wasn't feeling it today and or some stupid
excuse. Okay, we both picked Texas, so.
Yep. All right, and I think that's all here for professional sports. NBA still we got to wait for. MLB, who cares?
Go Yankees. Go Yankees, am I right?
Who cares?
How about the Mariners?
Oh, yeah, we're great.
What a joke. Bro.
Yeah.
But Yankees.
Hey, Seahawks, let's win a Super Bowl this year and shut up the haters.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Won't happen, but, I mean, you can always wish. Yeah. Anyway, so
I just love seeing the Seahawks, like, in the state of purgatory, you know?
Of not knowing whether they're going to be good or bad.
Yeah.
It's always interesting. Teetering. I feel like we're, especially when you have a loaded NFC West now. Yay! Why can't we be in the AFC South and be the pushover division, you know?
The AFC South is not the pushover division anymore if you actually look into it.
Oh, no, that's the AFC East, my bad.
Yeah.
That's one good team. Everyone else sucks. All right. So now, I mean, nothing else for anything else you want to get off your chest right now? Anything sports related?
I'll bring up my Mike Leach.
And your Mike Leach?
Yeah, my Mike Leach.
All right, yeah, I don't got anything else here. We talked, let's see. Vandal football, soccer, volleyball, NFL, NCAA. So, yeah, just a little bit shorter episode today, but we'll hop into our Mike Leach Awards. Chris, you want to go first on this one for the craziest thing you saw in sports this week?
Well, I'm just going to say this is going to be part two of my my rant.
Oh,
But hey, it's okay. It's going to be more calmed down, you know.
Yeah, no screaming this time.
No screaming to an extent. You know, it's still been difficult, Zach. It's been pretty hard sometimes, you know. I go to bed some nights and I'm like, well, we still don't have Andrew Luck. But, Zach, you know who we do have?
Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett. Brisket. Brisket Man. You haven't seen those memes yet out there?
No, I don't.
Brisket
Man? I'm not on Colts Twitter.
Jacoby Brissett, man.
Two years, 30 mil?
He will save us. I'm all in. I'm all on Jacoby Brissett. T.Y. Hilton has said himself, this is the best team he's been around. Guess what, Zach? We're going to win the division, and we're going to the playoffs. Without Andrew Luck, yes.
Hold on, I'm just...
Hot takes.
I'm doing some research
here. Hot takes.
Is Deshaun Watson already out for the year? Is J.J. Watt not there anymore?
Who cares? We're going to beat Saxonville.
Did Saxonville blow up?
The Texans are overrated. The Jaguars, we got them. Titans, come on. It's the Titans.
It's the Titans.
Jacoby Brissett, you know, I can't wait for Sunday. We're going to beat the Chargers. We're going to start out 1-0. We're going to beat the Chargers. No Melvin Gordon.
You think Brissett's better than Phillip Rivers?
I think so. Yeah, it's going to happen.
No.
We're going to prove a lot of people wrong on Sunday.
We should pick that game because...
We are going to prove a lot of people wrong on Sunday. And I'm going to come
gonna
back here.
You're going to prove that you guys aren't going to go 3-13.
You think we're going to go 3-13? With this, with the level... Okay, mark my... Hear it first.
You're not going 3-13. You're going 6-10. Mark my words. We're going to have an up year.
We will have at least 9 wins this season.
9 wins.
Yes. 9 wins, we will make the playoffs.
I got to write this down real quick.
We will have at least 9 wins.
At least 9 wins. What?
I'm not that confident to say like 11 or 12. That's pushing it. But I can say that we will have at least 9 wins this season. And we will make the playoffs. Okay? Colt strong.
And you will make the playoffs. That's your guarantee.
Guarantee. We will be back in the playoffs.
You want to put something on this one?
What should we put on, Zach? What should we put on it?
Let's put a Subway sandwich on this one.
Okay.
So, all
right, Subway sandwich.
If they don't make the playoffs, you owe me a Subway. If they make the playoffs, if they go better than 9-7 or better and make the playoffs, they have to make the. So if they go 9-7, miss the playoffs,
they're
going
to make the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs. I said at least 9 wins, though. They could have more. They could be 11-5.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. If they get 9 wins, if they get 10 wins, but don't make the playoffs.
Make playoffs.
All right.
Jacoby Brissett. It's going to be like the next Patrick Mahomes.
Jesus Christ. All right.
The next Patrick Mahomes, baby. Jacoby
Brissett. Hey, everyone. That's it. That's what I call easy money. All right, so for my Mike Leach Award, I'm going to talk about the ensuing drama going on in the Bay Area as...
Knock on wood if you're with me.
As Antonio Brown had a bit of a scuffle with the GM, Mayock, and
was this is so funny anymore.
And Adam Schefter tweeted that some around the league believe that with this suspension, the Raiders are going to try and void the over $30 million of guaranteed money on AB's contract. I didn't think AB was a cancer. I thought he was just misunderstood. But
he's a diva.
He is. I love the drama. He is a diva. Because it's not my team. It's my roommate's team. And I
were you able to catch Hard Knocks at all?
No.
Watch any of the episodes?
Dude, I'm so busy. Honestly, I'm probably gonna binge watch it.
It's great. It's a good one.
Last year was really good. I binge watched that as well after it was all done, and then the Tampa Bay one is the one I really got into.
Yeah,
they always
like
make
Tampa
you believe in
they
these
do,
teams.
They do. Yeah, I really believe in Tampa Bay. I believe in them so much. I drafted Jameis Winston that year in fantasy football.
I didn't believe in them that much.
I believed in them that much, and then I got disappointed. Well, I also drafted AB, and now it looks like that might.
Yep.
He'll
probably be suspended for at least week one.
Or cut.
No
way. Do you think they will cut him?
I saw this one meme just now when I was adding up your guarantee, when I was putting your guarantee in our doc. It was a picture, or it was a video of Bill Belichick walking out of a tunnel. It says Bill Belichick on his way to pick up AB for a seventh round pick.
Thinking the same thing. Can you. Like, I can imagine that happening. That's
honestly
the scary part about it.
They'll be like, all right, we'll give you a first-round pick, 3 seconds, and a third.
Because despite the talent, I mean, you could only put up with so much.
And he, and Belichick kind of, swear to God, if AB goes.
Well, Belichick can be, Belichick will ring him in, but like.
Just think back to Randy Moss.
Think about the Raiders. I feel like Mayock is done with him.
Oh, no.
Mayock probably be like, let's just get rid of him. But Gruden, especially after watching Hard Knocks, Gruden loves him. So, but who knows, man? It's interesting.
All right, so you know what? I mean, we got time. So, real quick, if AB does get released or traded, where's he going?
I mean, I don't want to say Patriots because that would suck.
Don't speak it into existence.
But I feel like it's just going to happen. I don't know. There's something telling me, like, he's going to be a Patriot. I'm waiting to get that alert that, like, he gets cut and Bill Belichick picks him up. Yeah, I'm going to go Patriots because I can't see him anywhere else. Then again, I couldn't even see him on the Raiders, but yeah, I'm going to say Patriots.
You know what, I'm going to say Seattle. I'm totally kidding. I don't want him in Seattle.
Well, I'm going to say Indianapolis. Yeah.
I
could see him in Seattle, though. I could see him in Seattle.
I could, honestly.
Do you think he goes to San Francisco?
I could see him going to San Fran. I could see him going to the Browns.
No, that's not a hot take. That's a cold take. How are they going to pay him? With what money?
If they void his contract, they'll give him a new one. Actually, there's just so many options.
The Browns, there's no way he goes to the Browns.
With OBJ and Jarvis Landry?
That's
like an out there shot. That's very out there. I'm not saying it's going to happen. That's why I kind of thought that. It'd be interesting, though. I think Packers could be a landing spot. The Giants, maybe, since Golden Tate's here, but I don't know why they'd replace one diva with the worst one. Who knows? I remember when the Bills almost had the trade completed for AB. Who knows? Maybe he'll go to Buffalo.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he didn't want to play in Buffalo. That's why he said that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, at this point, it's going to be already who wants to play me. Arizona, I think that could be an interesting spot.
Arizona
Cliff Kingsbury could want to see him. I think the best
shot. It's
going to
be New England, man. There's no way. There's no point talking about other teams. It's going to be New England. But Belichick's going to scoop him up just like Josh Gordon. And we're going to have Antonio Brown, Julian Edelman, and Josh Gordon.
And Demaryius Thomas. Don't forget about
him. And Demaryius Thomas, yes.
Along with James White and Sony Michel. And
whenever N'Keal Harry comes back.
If he goes to the Patriots, that's not fair. Nope, not at all. All right, so I think that'll be all for us this week on the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. Let's see what happens with AB and all that drama on our AB radar. I don't know. Just trying to think of stuff at this point.
Yeah.
But anyway, Zach Cog joins us.
So are you still going to try to get Andrew Luck in on this podcast? Or?
Oh, yeah. Have you been answering your letters or not?
You know, I've been keeping in contact. You know, all I got some sources.
You and Captain Andrew Luck?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see you guys are real close friends
now. Get him in here.
All right. Yeah. We'll get Andrew Luck. Actually, yeah, we'll see if we can get maybe a football player in here. Don't know.
Hey,
Andrew
Luck, teasing it? We teasing some?
We're teasing it.
Teasing some potential
maybe some
opportunities.
Maybe some guest appearances by some of your Vandal favorites, but we'll have to wait and see how that one plays out.
Ooh.
Stay tuned. That'll be all for us this week on the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. Zach Kellogg, joined as always by Chris Dermer. You can catch all of our work at thevandalnation.com. Also follow us on Twitter and Facebook for all the stories we upload almost daily.
Yes.
With previews, recaps, and also breaking news stories. You can also check us out on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @Kellogg_Zach, Z-A-C-K.
Just like the cereal.
And the last name, exactly like the cereal, K-E-L-L-O-G-G. All right, Chris, you want to drop your Twitter handle real quick?
Yes, Chris_Dermer, and that is D-E-R-E-M-E-R. Dermer, all capital, Chris, all lowercase.
And that'll be all for us this week. Also, catch us out on Inside the Vandals.
This Saturday, first episode.
First episode this Saturday. Chris got in a hosting gig.
Yes.
Doing football since they play Eastern Washington. So catch that out on Pluto TV, channel 542. And that'll be all for this week, and we'll hope to see you all next week. And as always, go Vandals!
Roll Vandals!